Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 6, Episode 2, titled The Blue Ball. My name's Joe Batance, and I am joined, as always, by two acrimonious co-hosts. First, from Bloody Podcast, please say hello, hello, hello to Lori Roggenkamp. Hello, Lori Roggenkamp.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Just cleaning out my bra, so that's fun.
Among other things.
Yeah, among yeah. other things, by the way. Oh, and that voice you heard, the sultry voice you just heard from Show Business, please say hello, hello, hello to Adam Solandra. I did not pull clips this week. Again.
Very depressed.
I was depressed, yeah. And you know, it's so funny. You know, there was a little text. Everyone should know I was texting with my pals Adam and Lori before the show that I was very depressed. I was crying and I didn't know what to do. And nothing gets you out of depression more than Lori volunteering to A, write the script and read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew that was going to work. I knew you were going to be like, "Ugh, I don't want other, my listeners to get depressed."
Yeah. But because you know it'd be all insulting old men and stuff like that and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so anyway, by the way, I discussed my depression a little bit. We had a very interesting conversation on the show, on a show called Just Between Us Girls. Now there are several places you can hear Just Between Us Girls. As of now, you can get it on Patreon at the premium level. You can get Just Between Us Girls and the show. And I believe as the publication on the public, I believe as of this recording, you can now get it on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe directly there, $5 a month. You get Just Between Us Girls and All-Star 6 commercial free and like multiple days early. You get the same time it drops on Patreon. So hit that little subscribe button over on the Apple Podcast app, and you'll be on your way to commercial-free shows, getting them early. Lots of good stuff. We have a show. Boy, do we have a show.
Oh, boy.
Well, it dropped last week. Oh, by the way, do you ever have this word? Solandra, now that you have the show on the public feed, did you listen to last week's show?
No.
Oh, wow. Lori, what about
you? Well, when did it come? I just saw today that I was actually going to ask you. I saw it today for the first time. But when did it actually drop?
It dropped today.
Oh, okay.
It drops on this show drops on Mondays unless you sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you'll get it like Saturday at midnight. But you get it a couple of days early, but usually Monday at midnight. Yeah. So, but what I was going to say to you is when you listen, do you ever think of like, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that?
Oh, most of the time when I listen to me, I'm like, just shut up.
Strange.
I don't even have to listen to feel that. Not what you said. Not what you said. No. I don't even have to listen to myself. I was answering his question. I don't have to listen to think I should have said this or that. I'll literally like think about the episode, like actual Drag Race later on and be like, oh, here's a point I needed to make.
Well,
and then I'll write it down for next time as if that's ever.
Well, yeah, but mine is more about jokes. Yeah, last week, Lori accused me of being a racist, and I went on this rant about Mexicans. And I was like, why didn't I say I was a member of the KKK, but it's like K as in what? Like QUE?
And I was like,
that's
a good joke.
That's a good joke. I'm like, oh, that would have been such a good joke. I was like, KKK. That's my Mexican.
Hey, you still squeezed
my anti-mix. Oh, just like the way Lori squeezes her pores. A camera meant to dig out earwax. By the way, that's, again, stuff you're missing on Just... That was not even on regular Just Between Us Girls. That wasn't Just Between Us Girls Part 2. We had to do two parts. Part 2.
When you're this blessed.
Yeah.
You gotta... Yeah. That's what happens.
Well, let's jump right into the show. This week, the girls get ready for the blue ball. On the main stage, the girls each show off their three different looks using the color blue. Raja O'Hara was the winner of the challenge, while Yara Sofia and Jiggly Caliente were placed in the bottom two. After the girls pled their cases, the rest of the cast took a vote. Back on the main stage, this week's Lip Sync Assassin was Season 11 contestant and Canada's Drag Race judge, Brooklyn Heights. After an energetic lip sync, Raja O'Hara and Brooklyn Heights were both named the winners. They both pulled out their lipstick and both revealed the name Jiggly Caliente. With that, Jiggly Caliente was the second queen to leave the competition and enter the game within the game. A lot of words there, but they all boil down to two things. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode. One thing you did not. Let's start with our resident woman of the podcast, Adam Salandra.
Not fair. I was pointing at her because I forgot to gather this, but let me just
say. Didn't that happen last time too?
It happens a lot because I take notes and then when I'm done, I'm done. But I will say I actually watched this episode three times. So don't worry. I am prepared. I just didn't collect these.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now, right off the bat without looking, what I didn't like is the elimination. We all knew I flipped out over Jiggly being here. Boy, oh boy, I was not happy about that. Mm-hmm. Things I liked. Also, another thing that's weird for me not being a look queen or having anything to say, I really do like a ball. I've grown to like to see what they're creating. So I did like that. It's cool to give us 36 looks, especially because us three don't have to actually break down every single one. I would think that was much less cool. But getting to see what they come up with is good. And something else I liked. Oh God, the lip sync was amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It was very, very good. Lori, what about you?
I liked how this is sad, but I liked how Jiggly in the beginning kept kind of calling out people and then was sort of like side eyeing Ginger Minge. Was like, can you believe these people aren't going to like, help me, and Gingerman just kind of goes, I'm not gonna help you either. Like, just, that's just her face the entire time.
Yeah.
I actually liked the ball. I didn't think I was gonna like it, and I liked it because I like seeing the juxtaposition between the bot dresses and the not bot dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell, like, what, you know, like, I think. And we can get into this, but I honestly think they did Jiggly dirty because Ginger Minge kind of brought it home, which is that she had two good dresses and one not good dress. And Yara had two, basically everything was two bad dresses and one okay dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even though I'm in defense of Jiggly, I would think that the one they made is weighted higher.
Is weighted. Okay. The one thing I didn't like Michelle Visage. I mean, I know I keep bringing it up, but Michelle Visage, like it's like she's not even trying now. She's like a divorced grandmother who's like coming to her friend's party. Like, she was in a friggin' tracksuit. And like, I just was like, honestly, I felt like she should have like a Starbucks like frap with her. And it's just like, I'm just here.
Wait,
just
I feel that too, but I haven't really like put it into words in my own head, but like Michelle, she's not being like the harsh critiquer that she often is, which is her role.
No.
Or is she giving like fun light critiques? It's just sort of, she's just there.
Yeah. Like, I think I forgot who she was talking to, but today she was just sort of, she like said something to somebody and she was like, I just, you know, I don't know. And it's just like, oh, great. Well, great.
Well, that's what you're paid for, but
yeah.
Michelle Visage. Like, I just feel like, I mean, look, I get they do like 12 million of these a year. But if we have to sit through it, then they should have to like.
If we have to critique them, so does she.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Well, I like the lip sync very much. It's one of the things that I have here. I also like, and maybe this is just from Adam and I just got off of season three, recapping that show, that they actually had to sew. We don't see as many sewing challenges anymore. This might be the only time they have to sew, where in season three, man, those bitches were doing things all the time. And a mini challenge, they had to sew something, you know, everything. They were always sewing. The thing I did not like was, I don't like, and it's kind of related to what you were talking about, this weird criticism on the runway where they contradict themselves in one episode. Like, for instance, I'm not even making a judgment on the merits of what they said was right or wrong. What I'm saying is a critique of Yara Sofia was like, I didn't really know what you were doing. You're a construction worker, like, with big boobs. I didn't get that. And I'm like, well, okay. So Neek came in, like, with, like a necklace and, like, looked amazing, but she was supposed to be something like a construction worker, too, or, like...
Yeah.
And no one was like, oh, so Neek, you didn't... So Neek looked less like a construction worker than Yara Sophia did.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, And there was also criticism, like, a similar criticism where they'd be like, you just told this person... They used to do it before, but it would be across episodes. So you'd be like,
at least.
Wait, yeah, two episodes you said this. Now it's in the same episode. They don't give a shit anymore.
Oh, and they call out her sloppy tits as being redundant. And it's like, friggin' Pandora Box wears the same wig every time. Like, why aren't you calling out her for being redundant?
Well, you're that, but also, I mean, look, the one of the most legendary queens of all time... I mean, if not the most popular queen, Bianca Del Rio, I mean, that's probably why she won't do All Stars again. She had the exact same silhouette every single week. It was a variation on the same dress.
Which, you know, if it works for you, it works for you. I mean, look at Ginger Minj basically had the same kind of style every single outfit. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, I think the problem is like, and you saw this in the production, is that they were I'm realizing now is that this is like they are sort of pre-planning who goes home and then working production around to showcase why that person went home. When you can pretty much in All Stars say that anybody is in the bottom or anybody's on the top. It just really depends on how the judges sway that day.
Yep. Especially when they're all good, which currently they for the most part are. No one really did. Like Jiggly's was absolutely horrible, of course. But she was the only one that stood out. And so they, I think Yara was more of a storyline thing. She was hopping around beforehand. So it just made sense. Mm-hmm. And that's why she got the, okay, that doesn't look like a construction worker, but Sonique didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I have a note somewhere. I can just bring it up now. It was during one of the workroom, segments where Yara's running around going like, I don't need to do this. I've done this so many times and yelling and screaming and go like, I can do this in my sleep. And I'm like, well, you just wrote the storyline for the producers.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I guarantee you they probably weren't even like going to put her in the bottom. Yeah, and they were like, oh yeah, let's put her in the bottom.
Yeah.
This. Yeah. It was either going to be with that. I knew she was either in the top or the bottom.
Yeah.
Like it was just.
Any competition I've ever seen in my entire life, anybody who's like, I could do this in my sleep, never wins. They never win the competition. They always are in the bottom. And it's just like, even if you could do it in your sleep, pretend like you can't. Like, just for the camera. Like,
Have you watched the show?
Yeah.
Get that underdog edit.
Get that underdog edit. All right.
Like, Raja. Yeah. Raja did a dress in 60 minutes, and she was like, I'm telling you I'm nervous. And it was like, yeah.
Well, I'm going to correct
exactly
you.
Right.
60 seconds. But yeah.
Oh, sorry. 60 seconds. Yeah.
I like that Lori said, Lori, I was listening to the episode, and Lori says, like, I love that she learned how to use a sewing machine in 1 minute. I'm all, she already knew how to use a sewing machine.
Well, I didn't mean like, I meant like she was teaching herself. Yeah. She was able to use a sewing machine if you gave me a sewing machine and said, just sew a line in 60 seconds, I'd be like, give me 10 years. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Which I think that's a fair from 60 seconds to 10 years.
Yeah. All right. After Serena's elimination, the girls enter the workroom and count the lipsticks. The vote, with the exception of Serena's vote for Trinity, was unanimous in favor of eliminating Serena Chacha. Next, Yara Sophia pulled out her lipstick to reveal that she would have sent home Trinity K. Bonet. And there was a lot of, like, pearl clutching, but did you guys believe that? I don't know.
Well,
we're not there yet.
Oh, sorry.
Hold it, though. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold it.
Okay.
The next day, the girls discuss who is and isn't the trade of the season before RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. It's a ball challenge called the Blue Ball. The girls will walk the runway sporting three looks each. First, it's blue better work, a blue-collar working girl challenge. Next, blue jean baby is a denim-themed runway. And finally, blue ball bonanza sports, a look crafted from unconventional materials that have been provided to the girls. Back in the workroom, Jan plans to update the ball look from her season. Jiggly has PTSD from her elimination on a sewing challenge. And Raja struggles to cut up a lawn chair. Finally, Yara's carefree attitude annoys Scarlet Envy. Let's start with Lori. Lori, what were your thoughts on everything that happened up until that point?
It was great. I have no thoughts.
Wait, what?
thank you for coming.
Okay, so the Trinity, the Yara, to go back to the Yara pulling out and saying Trinity, this is another thing that I'm frustrated with, because I feel like it's one of those rom-com miscommunication things where it's just like everything would be so much simpler if you just say, this is what I meant. And I felt like Yara said it in the previous episode when she said, I am picking the person that I think will be the most trouble for me along the road. And so when she picked Trinity, I think she should have said, look, I think you're the better performer. So do I want to come up against you in future? No. And, but she kind of, it was like a weird moment where she goes, I pick, Trinity. Nothing personal. And Trinity was like, yeah, I take it personal. And then that was it. And it was like, why didn't she say like, hey, I picked you because I think you're a better performer. You know, I mean, look, Trinity probably would still have that opinion, but at least it would have come off more.
Did you watch the part where she said she was joking?
Yeah, but she didn't really. She said that at the end. She said she was joking, but then in her the interstitial confessional, she was like, "Oh, I won't forget that," or something.
Well, okay.
So I feel like it was kind. She was not really.
Let's have a conversation here. This is a conversation, but we have to have it. I have it not had on this show since I first did the show 6 or 7 years ago, but. It is so egregious now on this show. We have to make a decision. Are we, or maybe we can do both, but are we going to talk about the show and the events as depicted or as how they probably happened? Because there's two different things going on here, I think, with this show. And, if we go with what's depicted, I agree with you, Lori, 100%. So, and there's times where Trinity contradicts.
Let's go with that one then.
Trinity contradicts herself in this episode, you know,
yeah.
Later on. But I do feel there is a chance. I mean, I don't know that Yara did tell her you're the competition, but it wouldn't fit the narrative they were trying to build. So it wasn't there.
But also one other thing we have to remember is Morgan McMichaels proudly said that's what her plan was going to be. She's going to vote off whoever her biggest competition is. And because of that, Ben De La Creme voted her off instantly. She became the first voted off of that all-star, spoiler alert. So there's also the issue of Yara maybe not, if she knows that or followed, not wanting to say because she does feel she's strong competition, which she is. Oh, and so then yeah. They come for her for that reason.
That's a really good
potentially.
Point. That's a really good point, Adam.
That is a really good point. Yeah. Yeah. Because she's telling us, but she's not necessarily telling them, sort of.
Right, exactly.
Well, okay. That puts it more in perspective.
Let's talk about that trade of the season question. It seemed really uncomfortable. It reminded me of an All-Stars 2.
What question? Sorry?
They were talking about who the trade of the season was.
Oh.
And I have a lot to talk about here. But it reminded me of All-Stars 2. There's a moment when all the girls are in and what's her name from season 2 that was there? Well, I can't remember her name. I'm blanking.
And wait, All-Stars 2?
Tatiana. Tatiana says, okay, are we, you know, doing alliances? And everyone's like, oh, no. So we've got really cringy.
Uh-huh.
I felt that's how the trade of the season conversation felt. It felt very cringy.
Really?
Yeah. And then the other conversation, here's the big question I have, though, is I'll ask Lori first, and I'll ask Solandra. But, you know, we hear the term trade thrown around, especially on this show a lot, but also in gay pop culture. And I've never heard a formal definition of it or read a formal definition of it. Maybe I haven't really sought it out, but I have one that I've just developed just because from what I've heard in context. And they talk about the definitions. Lori, what does trade mean to you? And then we'll go to Solandra.
I mean, honestly, I didn't see it as awkward. I saw it as a bunch of me's trying to figure out what the hell trade actually means. Because I felt like I thought that was legitimately a funny scene, because it was a bunch of older men in their like late 30s, early 40s going, I think trade means a person you want to have sex with, but maybe not, might not want to date later or something. Like that's what I'm getting. But again, I don't know the definition. From what I've gathered from when I did Australia mm-hmm. with you and Nathan,
yeah.
It felt like trade was like somebody that everybody wants to have sex with. That's what I felt like trade was.
So, Landry, what's the definition of trade in your book? Or do you actually know the definition of trade?
No, well, now I picked up the what I now consider to be the meaning from this episode where they said a masculine-looking gay guy. I sort of knew it as this. I thought that there was a meaning that I knew I didn't understand from actually the black community.
Okay.
But that it has been appropriated in at least in Drag Race form, that I felt that the girls were using it freely as someone who's hot.
Okay.
Without the deeper context. So that's what I heard. That was the definition in my head when I would hear it, even though I did think anyone who actually knew what they were talking about, which was not me, knew it to be something more.
The good thing is that that's the only thing that the drag community has appropriated from the black community.
That is good news.
Yeah.
I feel relieved.
To me, I just gathered from the years that they've been using it on Drag Race that it meant someone that you don't want to have a relationship with or even see in your bed the next day, but in a simple transactional arrangement, you guys can have sex. Like, it's like, oh, I'll hook up with you tonight, but like, I don't want to talk to you.
So like a fuckboy thing.
Yeah, like a fuck. Well, yeah, but I don't know. And I didn't even realize the part it was appropriated from black culture. I didn't even know that part.
I didn't know that either.
Lori didn't know, but we can't discuss why she didn't know.
Okay. All right.
But I did start to get the idea that it was someone, I think someone said this in there, someone a little dangerous, and not like literally will steal your money or maybe that too, but like, you know, has a little bit of a edgy side.
Like, well, you wouldn't have your wallet on the nightstand.
Okay, if that's the definition, how is there any trait of any season on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, that's right. That's why I think all the queen, and that's why they, it was very interesting that even among them, they couldn't decide because just a casual, well, even like you guys said, you didn't know. Who knows how I found out at some point that it was, coming from black culture, but if you don't and you're hearing it there, the way they're saying it is just hot person. So that's why, like, Akira or who was it last year, Jade Essence Hall and Heidi in Closet talking about who's the trade of the season, I think they were just saying who's hot.
I mean, I'm looking it up right now, and it's saying that it's a young, hyper-masculine-looking gay man, usually black or Latino, in urban context. Trade typically dress in urban clothing and play to the thug stereotype.
Oh, interesting. Wow, interesting.
In recent years, the term has come to refer to any gay man of color who dress in hip-hop-inspired clothing and play into the masculine fetish.
Well, here's what's funny is I'm a gay man of color who wears hip-hop clothing. The problem is that the clothing is baggy, but it's my size.
Yeah.
Like, if I were thin, it would be baggy on. But, like, I wear the same size as another gay urban man of color, but that's just my size.
You know? Well, hey.
Yeah.
You could still be trade.
Trade, all right. You know what?
Yeah. So is
basically
there trade
I'll
there?
Have sex with anyone who gives me a pie. What were you saying, Calandra?
Now that's a trade.
Yeah.
But if it's shepherd's pie,
yeah, then they can I will not them. Because shepherd's pie is not a pie, and I will stab you in the eye. This is, by the way, Calandra, so you know, this is an old bit of Lori's I was sneaking in.
Oh,
that she was pisexual because she will have sex with anybody.
I said I was pisexual.
I think that's great. And I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
I would love some pie.
I love pie. Right now. And you know what? You know what's so funny is it's too bad it's hot because I was too hot to make it. I would love to make from scratch a chicken pot pie.
Ooh, that sounds really good right now, actually.
I would love a chicken pot pie.
I'm kind of like you in that where I literally only want hot meals like during summer. And I'm always like, why am I craving like meatloaf right now? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't I crave meatloaf in the winter? You know? Huh? So, yeah. Sorry, what did you say?
Lori means a singer. She would do anything for
love. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I did assume that immediately. Yeah.
Now, what I like too is RuPaul comes in. And it's like, well, Serena's gone. And I was thinking, does anybody in the room believe that? Does anybody in the room? We are now on AS6, All-Star 6. Is anyone thinking like, oh, yeah, Serena's on her way home. Oh, she's leaving on a jet plane. Right? Does anybody
worried either way?
Yeah, I like – that's why I like on the show when the girls are wheeling their suitcases out and it goes, a jiggly. And then I'm watching like, oh, what? And I'm like, how are you – I would leave going like, well, now I'm going to the next part, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, also like they don't film you packing up. So wouldn't you be like, this is weird. They're filming me packing up. Like, I would be like, but also I thought it was funny that like, so RuPaul, we haven't seen what's happening, right? We know that something's coming. RuPaul has been dropping like weird hints throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of like on the like, this is pretty clever. It's going to come out later. And I'm like, I guarantee you it's not going to make a goddamn lick of sense. Like, I'm just like, it's going to be like, they're going to do a whole episode where it's just all the queens who got eliminated vying for, you know, to get back on the show or something like that.
For those of you hardcore Drag Race viewers out there, we, Adam and I know that they do film you packing up your bags. So we all know.
they do film you packing? Why?
Yes, for Untucked.
Mm-hmm. In a normal season.
Yeah. But Untucked isn't happening right
now. Yeah, they have Untucked this season.
They do? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we seeing that?
I don't know why you're not watching it.
I have it on... is it on Paramount?
It sure is.
But
it's on Paramount Plus Plus.
Is it a separate show?
You didn't download Plus Plus?
Oh, yeah, you didn't download Plus Plus?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, no, it's a separate show on Paramount Plus, yes. But it's,
oh, I got
to check that. If you go to the main show page, there's a thing that says more shows, there's a related shows, and it'll bring it up. And by the way, public service announcement, I've told like two or three people since the show dropped that Untucked exists. So you're not the only person who didn't know it exists this season.
Well, thank you for not making me feel like this. Sometimes we were talking about this, I think, maybe in the beginning of the show, where you're like, sometimes I listen to this and I go, why exactly does Joe have me on? Like, it's not like I'm like, is it because he's just yearns to explain things to me? Like, sometimes
you play the everyman.
I was just gonna say you're it's like when Ellen was on the judge on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Not to compare you to a lesbian, but that's just the first one that came to mind.
Oh, I forgot that Ellen was on Idol.
Oh, yeah. But wasn't that a famously disastrous year?
Yeah. Well, she did not do very
well. It didn't work out. So maybe that was a bad comparison.
I think, wasn't she on the season with Mariah Carey or something? And
oh God, no. That'd be way too crazy. It was, they brought another new, Cara DiAguardi, some like songwriter that year too. And it was four. I don't know. I actually don't remember it at all, to tell you the truth.
Well here's what I do remember. I feel like David Archuleta came out of the closet, and boy, is Joe
excited.
You're
not going to forget.
No, no. I'm becoming Mormon.
That would
be a great episode of Mormon Boys, that porn site, with David Archuleta.
You becoming Mormon to fuck David.
Oh, my God. I would literally convert. I'm not even being funny. I would wear the magic pajamas and everything like that. Just, oh, my God.
You know, I love that he's... what, 31 and something, and he still looks like, I still feel like you can't joke about that because he seems underage to me.
Yeah,
he does. He seems like a little child. So
hence the crush.
I like short, stocky people. But there's something about like yes, Joe Batance. But there's something about like short, skinny people that I like literally I try and avoid because I'm always afraid I'm going to kill them. Like if I'm around a short, skinny person, I'm always like, if I fall on you, like you could die.
You'll and be like, Eureka.
Based on how you fall on your bed, I think that's probably the best.
Yeah.
It could happen.
My crush, what even is it? It's just that you put all your weight onto a bed at one time.
I just literally fling myself onto things. Yeah. So I just sort of like have when I'm lazy and I don't feel like I just sort of fling myself onto furniture and it just causes
skinny twink
to,
boys.
Yeah, and skinny twink boys. I've killed so many skinny twinks.
Yeah,
well, they should have watched out.
All right. Here's a question. Back in the workroom, when you know they go rush for the materials, and Jiggly's like, "I didn't get anything," and they took everything. Like, were you there? Like, did you even try? Like, she was out of the room. Like, they called her out of the room, and they did this. But I'm like, you were there. You could have grabbed materials with the other girls.
And in fact, when I watched it, I saw they all rushed, and Eureka was way in the back. She didn't even rush over. She just casually sauntered.
I think she commented on that.
She did. And so she actually did get whatever was left and made it to the top.
Yeah.
So Jiggly, bless her heart, I don't think she was ever going to excel no matter what material she got because she doesn't have that skill.
I mean, but honestly, the thing that infuriates me is she doesn't have that skill. Like, if you were on season three and it was all sewing, right? And then you get to a show where you're the seamstress, and then you get back on All Stars where you know that there might be a sewing component. Wouldn't you go, I got to pick up a goddamn sewing machine?
Lauren, I'm glad that you said that, because one, Jiggly has been on the show before, season four, to be honest with you, it was way more sew heavy than it is now. Okay.
Season four.
She was in season four, yeah. And it was much more, you had to sew a lot more then than you do now. A, since she went on the show the season right before All Stars 1, that means she has been a former contestant for All Stars 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Has probably been trying to get on since season 3. And now she's like, I can't believe they're having a sew. And I'm like, what?
What? I mean, even Eureka, who was like, oh, I'm a crafter. I was like, bitch, you should be a sewer. Everybody on there should
actually
be All-Stars.
Eureka can sew. That was a thing on her season. She was helping the other girl who didn't know how to sew.
But, I mean, it's All-Stars. Everybody on there should be as cocky as Yara Sofia. I mean, not like outwardly, but they should be able to be like, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I thought it was so it infuriated me that I was like, immediately was like, Jiggly needs to go home. And not because I don't think that, like, I thought her two bot outfits were great. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the fact that she was waiting all this time, she played a seamstress on a TV show. You don't think she would have been like, hey, maybe like,
yeah,
I'll learn some?
Yeah.
No, she's had about two lines each season, if that. So I'm not worried about her pose, method acting, but I feel this way. Who cares if it's All Stars? This way on regular seasons, you wait all your life as a drag queen to make it on Drag Race. You're not going to at least take a few lessons. You don't have to go in as a
yeah,
pro seamstress.
Was somebody recently who did, right? Who said like, it was on Drag Race Down Under. Maxi Shield said, I'm no dummy. I went to sewing lessons before I came
right
here. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm genuinely confused by that, because if you want to stay on as long as possible, why aren't you not going until you're like, now I'm ready to go?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, honestly, to me, it would be the same thing as if I showed up, let's say I got on the show and I just said, you know what? I don't know how to paint my face. Mm-hmm. I just have never learned. And I just don't see the point. It would be like, you're fucking insane. Like, yeah, why would you come on this show and not know how to do a simple skill? Like, I don't know how to sew very well. I mean, I can sew buttons and stuff, but I think that you should be able to at least have some general knowledge of what sewing is.
I do think, though, that her issue, Jiggly's, was even beyond not being able to sew, because that was garbage, mama.
Oh.
Like, just to even think a streamer should just be hanging there, whether you could sew it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. I mean, we're not look queens here, and we know that was so. And so I think that a taste might have played a factor.
Well,
she has good taste when she buys. So I don't know what it was, but yikes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I agree with you. I think that, yeah, definitely.
All right. Very good. Next, RuPaul entered the workroom to make some table visits. Eureka struggles with the expectations people have of her. Jiggly talks about her time on Pose. Finally, Raja talks about her villain role in season 11. It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. Yara hides her ball look from the other queens, and the girls discuss the elimination process as they apply their makeup for the ball. Let's start with you, Adam Salandra, from Show Business. Your big thoughts on this table visit segment, on the elimination day segment. What do you got for us?
The funniest part is fucking RuPaul,
mm-hmm,
at the table walkthroughs referencing Alyssa Summers. Diehard drag people don't remember who Alyssa Summers is.
RuPaul Hunt.
It was what? So like, RuPaul doesn't remember the winners' names. So it was just very a funny reference to me that they put in her ear to say Alyssa Summers' names. Mm-hmm. Nice try. I also wondered.
Wait, hold on for a second. I have a question, because Alyssa Summers in that clip looked really hot. Is Alyssa Summers hot?
I was like, wait, how do we not remember Alyssa Summers? I like what I see.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it was just that one.
Oh, season four.
Yeah.
Obviously, because Jiggly. Yeah, I don't know why we don't remember that, because I felt the same way.
I think we also mentioned Jessica Wilde too.
Yeah, there was another one that I couldn't remember who. Yeah,
she quoted her, and I don't even know that quote. How does RuPaul know that quote?
She doesn't.
And you know for sure she was given that quote. Yeah. She was not told that quote.
To say the least. I also was wondering when Rue was talking to Jiggly about her transition and, you know, all that good stuff. I wonder if there's any awkwardness, whether Rue feels it or the queens feel it, just knowing that Rue made the comments before about trans people who already transitioned being on the show. Now they're allowing it. I wonder if there's some awkwardness between them, or if they're just like, no, we're doing this. We're
between
playing a game.
Jiggly and Rue, or between like Sonique and Rue?
Any trans contestant and Rue. So in this case, Jiggly and Sonique. I don't think it didn't look like there was. No. I'm just saying, like, is Rue thinking, oh, I hope they don't bring this up? Or is Jiggly thinking, okay, we'll pretend you didn't say this before? Or they're just playing the game.
Yeah. The only Jessica Wilde quote, by the way, that I know is this one.
I love that drink.
Thank you.
I don't know that either.
You don't what? How do you not know that quote?
I love that.
Oh
drink.
My god, Adam! I know that quote.
Oh my god!
I have it tattooed on my chest.
Oh, I actually did sound familiar in that. I think that was just from seeing it there.
Yeah. What about you, Lori? Any big thoughts on that segment?
Is this when they're painting their faces and stuff?
Yeah.
You said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved how Eureka was like, how are we going to do this? She's asked it twice now. So I'm interested to find out why they're being so secretive as to how they're going to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, how are we going to do the judging? And then Jiggly calls out people and's like, what about your friendships? What about like when your friendships you have? And then she goes to Ginger, Minge, and she's like, yeah, these people are, we'll see who are, I'll see who my real friends are, like you or something like, I felt like she said something like that. And Ginger Minch just like goes, ooh, I'm not gonna.
It was gonna like Jiggly set them up for that storyline beautifully with being able to ask and saying, we'll see. And I was one of the reasons I was shocked Jiggly was voted off was because I was certain the way they were setting it up, Ginger would vote for her. And then I thought they'd have to have that confrontation the next day, which I'm sure when they come back, they'll make them have it. But I thought that would happen immediately, and it never played out that way.
Well, how would Jiggly know if Ginger, at least not until it aired or unless Ginger told her, how would Jiggly know that Ginger voted for her?
Because afterwards, when they're pulling the lipsticks out of the box, unless it was 50-50.
But Jiggly's not there.
But how?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I thought
Jiggly was gonna not go home just so they could have that confrontation. That's what I meant.
Oh.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like I thought afterwards Ginger was gonna have to say, "Yeah, I voted for you," and then there was gonna be a thing. But she's gone.
Yeah, she sure is. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're gonna dive right into the part. It's my favorite topic, your favorite topic, Adam, your favorite topic, Lori. The looks. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. All right. Well, now it's time for, gosh, who isn't this their favorite part of the whole show? The looks.
I've been waiting for this.
We should just call this show Bring It to the Runway. You know,
because good idea.
All
name
we
change.
Do is talk about the looks. No, you know what's so funny is you brought this up, Solandra, and I feel that there is this afterthought myth that I hate the looks. I'm like you. I like watching the looks. I love watching. I'm like, oh, what's this person going to wear next down the road? I hate talking about the looks.
Same. We're twinsies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Triplets.
I think I'm the same. Although most of the time I also hate the looks, but I think I'm.
What other than that? Or is it?
Because, I mean, to be honest with you, if I will say I like more avant-garde stuff. Like, I think that that's why I felt like this was a lot more fun. And I feel like, I feel like certain drag, more most of the drag, they have like fun looks, but when it's just like a simple dress, I'm like, okay, who cares?
Totally. And it's like, I can look and be like, okay, I like this or I don't care about it, but that's sort of all I have to say. I don't have a deep thought on it.
Look, luckily we have at our disposal. By the way, I am loving in the Discord right now that everybody is right now to look at the looks. People are posting David Archuleta videos and pictures. Oh.
I didn't say it because I know you don't like it when I mention the Discord, but yeah, nobody's paying attention to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Good.
I love that. I think Jay Darling is the only person who's actually kind of commenting on what's happening. Everyone else is just like, ooh, Lauren S. is really showcasing her David Archuleta fandom. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm just glancing at the looks as I see them right here. And by the way, very special thanks. I always forget to do this to listener Drew Brooks. He takes every look and puts the screenshot in the Discord in the looks channel. So the first category is blue better work. I'm looking at this, and so Rasha O'Hara, I'm not going to go through each look, but she is the first one out. She comes out in a construction worker outfit, and I want to know what were the instructions that they got. Well, so famously, the girls will get a list of looks that are going to be on the show, and there's a few more, about 15-20% more than what they're going to actually do. And they have to bring a look for all those topics. And, there was something where a lot of people for Blue Better Work were doing something like a crossing guard, a construction worker. There's two construction workers, a plumber, another crossing guard. And I'm wondering what was it, what the actual topic was taught. Cause the list is, it's never exactly it. It's like sort of like it, like, you know, like a blue working outfit or so. You know what? It might've just been blue collar.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Blue collar. Blue collar. Did you have any standout looks from the Blue Better Work challenge, Lori? Are you looking at the photos in the Discord?
Yeah, I wanted to discuss Jan for a second because I was listening to another Drag Race thing, and they brought up a point, and I wanted to discuss it with you guys to see if you agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to Pit Stop with Bob the Drag Queen and Trixie Mattel.
Sure.
And they were talking about Jan. And I will say this. I personally believe Jan should have won this episode. Okay. She should have won. Right. Her looks, I felt like, were phenomenal.
Okay.
But they were saying that they think the reason why she doesn't get the acclaim or that she doesn't get the fanfare from the judges is because she doesn't wear padding. Mm. And she doesn't kind of shape her body. Which, I mean, when I was looking at this episode, I was like, I don't feel like Sonique or Scarlett really wear padding either. And Akira doesn't really wear padding that much either. She has a big butt, but I don't see her wearing padding.
Go ahead, Adam.
I think what I think it is they are genuinely are like rooting for another breakdown. They're like, let's make her safe all over again.
Yes, I know.
Because I listened to the Pit Stop as well, and they also thought that she was the best talent show person, or at least at the top, and she wasn't in the top three.
Yes.
And they thought that she deserved to win this episode, they say, hands down, and they know looks perhaps more than we do. So to me, it's like, okay, well, she's not in the top either time, and it's like, that obvious, they're trying to make her crazy again. I can kind of respect it.
I will say, I did say I wanted in the beginning of this year. So I think it's coming true. But I mean, we got to point it out. But again, one of the things with Jan is like, she is freaking killing it with the looks. But I mean, I kind of didn't care. Like, I just was like, oh, great. A great look,
Jan. Weird. Same. Honestly, it was when they said it on Pit Stop that I was like, oh yeah, I guess her lurks were good. Why isn't she popping for us?
Yeah.
I feel Jan lacks that X factor. I think she really does. There's something about her that you're right. On paper, she is phenomenal, but I see her and it's not, I wouldn't even call it she lacks an X factor. She has a factor where I'm actually turned off by her. Like there's something. Yes. Grating about her that it just I wouldn't say to the point where I can't watch her on TV, but where I'm just like
but she really is doing a great job. Like that's the thing that I think is so infuriating is mm-hmm. like if it was like if she was like Jiggly and she yeah. just didn't even know how to sew, mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, that's fine, you know. But she's genuinely working her ass off. And I'm like, I still don't care.
But I hate to say it. There are some queens who, and I don't want to name them, but that for some reason, the judges just sit on them. I don't know why. The way Lori sits in the chair. And, and you're like, well, they did better than, Jan is a perfect example, to be honest. She's almost a poster child for that kind of girl.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But we're like, they could bring it every week, and it's the judges just don't care.
Now, the person that I thought should have gone home was Trinity K. Bonet, and a perfect example is this Blue Better Work, where I honestly, legitimately think she thought that they wanted her to work as a crossing guard. Oh. And they wanted her to, like, hey, we're going to have you do some... You're bringing your crossing outfit when you were a crossing guard. And she's like, got it. And she, because I was just like, this in no way is like any kind of.
Or a runway. It was, their clothes were baggy. What I wrote down. I couldn't believe it.
I was shocked that she didn't have like a neck fan. And she was just like, I'm literally here to be a crossing guard.
It was literally just a costume, but like a costume that was not. Someone who doesn't care about Halloween.
And cause, like, she's going to a shitty Halloween party or something. The cause.
Yeah. Yeah. One where she didn't care to even, because people will go all out on Halloween parties. She did not.
My second favorite was Ginger Minj. I love the Mario Brothers spin. I thought that was great.
All right. Very good. Adam, you have any standouts you want to talk about in Blue Better Work?
I loved Eureka's proportionizing, as she calls it, is so good to me.
Yeah.
She is 7 foot tall.
She's huge.
Gigantic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes a look. I'll never get over it. She's now this third, fourth, fifth season.
It's not stretchy fabric, which I'm always, it's very tight fitting fabric, which I'm like, that is some freaking confidence right there.
By the way, she's still shorter than Lori.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
The Bachelor.
The Fatchler
Party. And then I did like just the little, I mean, it was literally nothing, but the shade of Jiggly having the people's names on the trash can. Her queens. Right.
Next category is Blue Jean Baby. Blue Jean Baby. Any big thoughts there, Adam Solandra?
Yeah, first of all, I was dying to say this last time because I had seen the episode, but you, Lori, talking about your love for Sonique.
Yeah.
She was so fucking hot in every look in this episode. I thought I was straight, or I could, what would I be, Pan? I don't know what I'd be, but she looked amazing. And it was a Britney / Christina look, which I always respect. I loved that. I thought Jan's denim star work of art, as she called it, was weird. But actual professional drag queen said it was good, so never mind that. And what I thought about Jiggly's look, this is before I saw what she made, I thought that she should be doing a little more to make it drag, because it's bad for any queen to be able to just say, oh, this is off the rack, but I could wear it anywhere is not good. But I think there's almost an extra pressure for a trans woman, because it's like you actually do live your life every day as a woman. So what are you doing on the runway to make that seem different? Which I don't think she totally did there.
All right.
Lauren. Yeah. I also love how she was like, yeah, I'm just wearing some like regular jeans. It's like, those are JNCO jeans. Like, those are for sure JNCO jeans. And honestly, if she had like used those JNCO jeans and made that the entire outfit and just like cut holes and worn those as like jeans, I would have liked it a whole lot better. I just felt, and she like brought a skateboard out for no reason. I don't think she was the worst of this. I thought Silky Nutmeg Ganache was the worst. I did not understand her outfit at all. I mean, we talk about Eureka being able to proportion and, you know, play to her strengths. And I feel like Silky was using every piece of fabric to showcase all of her faults.
Like, sad, but I get that actually. Mm-hmm. And thank you for reminding me to look at the looks. Yara Sophia's body, speaking of bodies, what's going on? It's just, it was very, I mean, those jeans were so low and she worked them out, I will say.
She did. Yeah. Also, again, Trinity K. Bonet. I mean, I was like, did she have like a burn or a rash on her body where she's like, I don't want to show my, it just seemed like she was playing a character, which was like an old grandma who was doing a drag show.
Right. Hey, well, her grandma is her character. So actually that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on the Blue Jean Baby denim looks?
No. Mm.
All right. Yeah. Finally, we have the one that they had to sew themselves, titled Blue Ball Bonanza. Any big thoughts here? Let's start with Lori Roggenkamp.
I mean, I thought for the most part that everybody did, except for Jiggly, pretty much. I thought everybody did shockingly well, although you could definitely see the difference between like the looks prior and then these. The looks prior were very, I felt like a lot of things thrown together at once that kind of worked together, and these looks were just very one note, which, I mean, obviously you're sewing in a workroom and you don't have a lot of time, but I wasn't a fan of Raja's look, to be honest. I felt like that weird neck thing, I felt like didn't work for her, but I mean, you know, what the hell do I know? I loved Eureka's look. I thought Jan did super well, but again, I was like, I honestly did this thing where I put my finger over her face and was just like, if I look at the dress, it's a pretty great dress.
Like, but no phase allowed.
Yeah. And Scarlet, Silky Nutmeg Ganache again, I felt like, I don't think she was showcasing her assets. Yeah. That's how I'll try and put it.
All right. Any other final thoughts on the looks? Adam, have you given all your thoughts on the looks out?
The only thing I think we didn't mention is that Scarlet Envy's dress was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I did hear a lot of whispers online that she, as well as Jan, was robbed for having three gate looks and including making one, which I didn't think of it at the time, but I did think she did great. Mm-hmm. But Jiggly, when I saw those streamers, I just knew it was all happening again. And then Yara's streamers, I didn't like the streamers used at all, but hers to be a boa worked better, even though they were both in the bottom.
All right.
I legit think I would have switched Jan and Scarlet Envy, but Blue Jean Baby, that weird hat and wig that looked like a helmet, I was like, no, I didn't like that. So that's the only reason why I didn't pick Scarlet to be first.
All right. And those are, unless anyone's going to stop me, the looks. On the main stage, Raja is named the winner of the blue ball, while Jiggly Caliente and Yara Sofia are placed in the bottom two. Back in the workroom, the girls deliberate who should go home. Yara promises Raja that she'll step up her game. Jiggly breaks down in tears. Yara breaks down in tears. And finally, Jiggly offers Raja her Netflix password if Jiggly gets to stay. Back on the main stage, Raja O'Hara faces off against Brooklyn Heights. The song, Miss You Much, by Janet Jackson. After all was said and done, both Raja and Brooklyn Heights were named the winners of this lip sync. They pulled out their lipsticks to reveal the same name on both Jiggly Caliente. And with that, Jiggly Caliente was the second queen eliminated from the competition and entered into the game within the game. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode, including that lip sync, including everything? Let's start with Adam Salantra from Show Business. Any big thoughts?
A few things. One thing I wanted to say about Sonique in the top, because I've been thinking about this a lot, about everyone being obsessed with her, and I didn't understand what she was bringing besides looking hot. But she's starting to win me over with just hot being enough, because she is doing good drag as well. I think it's not usually a combo. Usually the entire stop relying on that body is coming from the fact that people are like, well, I'm hot, so I don't have to do anything. She's hot and is still putting looks together. I love that. I was certainly shocked that it was Jiggly and Yara in the bottom, because that was Jiggly was from my personal top three and Yara from my predicted top three. So I couldn't believe when it was going. We know how it turned out. Why are Jiggly and Ginger close? Something about that feels weird to me. I don't know. Like, I wonder how they became friends in the first place.
I read somewhere that they did a web series together.
Great. That is helpful, because that was strange. Of course, not good enough friends. I also thought it was funny that Ginger famously said, oh, I would have gone in Katya's place on season All-Stars 2. Because they were friends.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's like, no, I'm going to actually vote my friends off.
Well, what the thing is like, she didn't even say anything. Like, I think that's even more awkward. Like, if you were a true friend, you would say, to be honest with you, I'm going to vote by how I feel they did, you know? But she just didn't say anything to Jiggly. And I just felt that meant that she didn't really care for Jiggly. You know, it's just like, okay.
We will absolutely be circling back on this when the gals come back. I have no doubts in my mind. And the only other thing I have to say is that lip sync was, first of all, I was impressed by Raja in it. Obviously she won. She had good looks. She had a good talent show last week, but her performing the lip sync, I really noticed for the first time, oh, she's just a good drag queen. I thought she brought it, but the reason I love their things, because everyone just loves to do a split or a stunt, but their stunts in this lip sync weren't manic. They actually went with the music. They felt right. And so it was really good.
And that they played off each other, which I liked.
And they played off each other. They nailed it.
By the way,
yeah.
Brooklyn Heights is another one who, for no apparent reason, I just hate her. I don't like her. I've never liked her. I don't know what it
really?
Is.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like she doesn't even do enough for me to dislike. It's just like, she's just, I mean, talent is there, but like personality wise, nothing's happening for me.
I personally was a little disappointed with Yara when she was like, I'm not a beggar. And it was just like, okay, like it's part of the show, dude. Just like nut up and just be and state your case. But then she started crying and it was just like, well, you are a beggar. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, you are definitely a beggar.
Well, I like that Jiggly is crying. She goes, I just wanted everyone to see the new bitch. And I was like, bitch, learn to fucking sew. You're went home on the same challenge. Thing. That's the new bitch would have known how to sew.
That is
yeah,
true.
The new bitch is a lot like the old bitch. She doesn't know how to sew. Like, yeah, I agree with everything. I think that Sonique is sort of doing, look, I think Jiggly is pretty if she uses her shape to her advantage. And I think that Sonique is doing that And she's getting a lot of acclaim for it. You know, she's doing really well. And I think if Jiggly had used her shape to her advantage and learned how to fucking sew, I think she would have stayed in this competition.
I wish. You know, it's so funny is, so let me get to my Trinity point, which is earlier in the episode, I think it's during the Elimination Day elimination competition, I mean conversation, Trinity says, you should vote on who had the worst look. You look around the workroom, it shouldn't be hard, and whoever has the worst look is the one you vote to go home. That's it. And then in the deliberations, Trinity's like, oh, we gotta send home Yara, which, because clearly Jiggly had the worst look.
Yeah.
Well, Trinity is instantly wanting revenge.
Well,
on Yara,
if you wait the final make it yourself look as like sort of the end all be all. Like the first two dresses are 20 points each, so that's 40 points total. So even if Jiggly got 40 points on the whole thing, but then the final make it yourself is 80 points, then she still fails, right? But I felt like Trinity, if you do that 20-20-80 rule, Trinity was like a 5 all across the board. So I don't know.
Well, we need you. We need it to be Rogan Camp's Drag Race.
Yeah, we need
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if I was running this, it would be a lot better. Pretty much, I would just be like, you know what? I just Jan, go home. just
the rest of you win.
Well, you'd have a girl who had like a really fancy couture outfit, and they would go home, and then the big fat dyke who was wearing like big jeans that are too big and a wrinkled T-shirt is the winner of the challenge every week.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Every week.
Somebody in the chat said Rogan Camp's Drag Race. Isn't that Camp on a Kiki?
It sure is. Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, Big Frida was one of the judges. When RuPaul came out, was Big Frida, they kind of allude to this, was Big Frida wearing one of her RuPaul's wigs?
Ru said that, and I don't get the joke. Was it that it just looked like a Ru wig? Or
I don't know.
I think it was just a joke that it looked like a Ru wig.
And then the other thing is they both said, you already know. And was that an inside joke, or is that a reference I'm not getting?
I think it's I think that it's something that Big Frida says a lot. It was my assumption.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what did you say, Joe?
You already know. Or it's like sort of song.
Yeah.
I think it's
I think that's like a shout out that she makes in a lot of her.
All right. Well, very good.
I only know one Big Frida song. So,
Solandra, any final thoughts on the episode? Have you gotten everything out? All your notes have been said.
I feel lighter than ever. I got it all out.
All right. What about you, Lori Roggenkamp?
I mean, we don't have to discuss it a lot, but I just want to reiterate how lazy and annoying and unnecessary Michelle Visage was in this episode.
Just want to circle back on that real quick.
Yeah. I mean, she literally offered like Joe was saying, she flipped her previous comments. So she was even more confusing. And she just, I don't know. I just didn't. And her new hair makes her look like a grandmother from New Jersey.
I said the other day, I think she's doing Nilly Munster from the Munsters. But the thing, what I think, Lori, what you're picking up on is I think it's become even more evident that Michelle sees herself, or the producers do, as a mouthpiece for the producers. Because that's what it seems like. It seems like the producers have told her the narrative, and she's going to build the case, and then RuPaul strikes the final blow. So Michelle makes the case, and then RuPaul... Because up until recently, RuPaul famously had stopped making judging comments. She did it on Drag Race Down Under. I don't think she's doing it on All Star 6, really, though. But she's going in and out with that. But famously, for a long time, RuPaul wouldn't really say anything on the judges' comments. She would just kind of do what I do and facilitate. And I think Michelle's role was to make the case that the story producers or the executive producers wanted to be made on the show.
Yeah. I just wish they had people in there who were like, you know,
better at it.
Better at it, but also just genuinely wanted them to do well. You know, like I wish they had somebody on their side. Like they have that guest, but like Big Frida wasn't really like, she didn't really do anything. You know, she sort of just like offered like pep talks that weren't helpful. But I mean, like, I would love it if they had a guest judge who like went into the workroom and did like a Tim Gunn thing where he like tried to help out. Like, bring in, this is All Stars, bring in another queen, bring in a winner, bring in Bob the drag queen or whoever, and we can judge her. But bring in somebody who can like legitimately try and help these queens.
Well, they were, this is in a pandemic world when they filmed this. Pre-pandemic, they were starting to inch toward that.
Yeah.
They had Raven come in, who was there anyway. Just not
yeah, she's already there. Yeah, exactly. But before the – see, they had Jinx – Jinx came in for a Snatch Game episode, I believe. So did Vanessa Vanjie-Matteo, even though she's notoriously horrible at Snatch Game. It was very strange, but nonetheless, they had her come in. Yeah. All right. Well,
oh,
that
Ross. Bring in Ross.
I've shouted for years that Ross should be the Tim Gunn of the show.
When Ross goes into the workroom, it's great. I've seen episodes where he's been in the workroom and it's great. And I think that I don't even know why I didn't even think about him. I think him in the workroom would be amazing.
All right. Very
as they
good.
Say on Happy Endings.
As they do.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6. So for Lori Rockenkamp, Adam Salandra, and myself.
Sashay away.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. Lori has another podcast. It's called Bloody Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Lori Roggenkamp on Instagram at Lori U Liar. That's L-A-U-R-I, the letter U, Liar, L-I-A-R. You can follow Adam Salandra on Instagram at Adam Salandra. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Very special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Emma, Declan Prosser, E. Smith, Ricardo Herrera, April Pacheco, Lionel Campbell, Luke Stamen, Poppy Woods, Lauren Eckert, Sarah Yu, Agnesia Shopinska, Travis Newland, Jimmy Kilbasa, Nutella, Jesse Harris, Coco San Pedro, Spiral Queen, Zach Nelson, and Brad Coley. This has been an Afterthought Media podcast. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.